And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going. So I opened up.
We were only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.
All right, you're welcome to the GAR. This is the Hurling Show. We have our Thursday squad on a Monday. Here, Conal and Damien have stepped in for Paddy and JJ, who were unable to make it today. What a day to be here, lads. What a game. What an outstanding game. Like, one for the ages. There's something magical about Thurles, and there's something magical, let's be honest, about the Munster Championship. To be able to produce that between two teams, Conal.
Yeah, like, I think it's been well overdue. I think the last couple of years it's been kind of disappointing.
Last year,
everyone's building it up, and the games have kind of been a bit mismatchy. And yesterday was unbelievable. It was everything that the Thurles Championship needed, and had everything, had scores, had unbelievable work rate, tackling, and youth and pace, and that's what's good about the game.
Yeah, I was down in. I obviously went to the game, and I got some audio from Kieran Kingston, Michael Ryan, who got a little bit ratty with me. You'll hear that audio in a little while. Talked to Conor Lehan, talked to Anthony Nash. So we'll be bringing you all that audio. But I went down early to the match because I wanted to watch the Mayo Sligo game on the telly and then stroll on up for the match. I didn't realise the level of hurling snobbery that went on down in Thurles. You had Hayes' Hotel, where the GAA all began, and I was trying to find a pub that showed the match. Nobody interested in watching Mayo Sligo. The game, it was on in the pubs. Everyone had their backs turned to the big ball game. I had to ask people to get out of the way of the television. I don't mean standing in front of me, but they're actually 6 inches from the television. I said, sorry, well, you wouldn't just move to the side. I'm trying to watch that. A big attitude then that I've asked them to get out of the way of the television. Complete disregard for Gaelic football.
By all accounts, they were trying to spare you, I think. I don't think it was a classic, was it, above in Castlebar?
I don't think so, but they weren't to know that because they had their backs. But listen, I know how the hurling snobs work down there, but in fairness, they got a serious game for themselves. I want to draw your attention back, lads, to last Thursday, and we had Dermot O'Sullivan on the show, and I asked Dermot O'Sullivan about what they would do tactically about the Tipperary half-back line. And in particular, I mentioned Galway, who put Mannion on Paddy Maher. And let's bear in mind that they put, this is all in hindsight, Cork put Luke Mead on Paddy Maher, and he ran him all over the half-back line and ran him ragged. But just when I saw that yesterday, I was laughing, because here was the Rock's response when I asked him last Thursday. But even little things like they put Mannion on Paddy Maher, you know what I mean, to give him something to think about rather than putting someone on him that's going to challenge him in the air. Just, you know, there's little things you can actually do to disrupt Tipperary that maybe Galway might have shown you.
Jeez, you know what, we might bring you down for a couple of weeks. Would you educate us, yeah?
Well, Paddy Stapleton told me about this on the show last week. I didn't notice that, actually. He was at the game.
Yeah. Well, look, I suppose, as I said to you, Galway's approach, okay, worked fine for them in the day, but, you know, that's not once their championships. It will require a lot more to win, to beat Tipperary above and Thurles than once their championship games.
Yeah, lads, I don't know, The Rock, if you were listening last Thursday, maybe it was the 5 second delay after me asking that question was enough of an indication that they were up to something. We know about cute Kerry whores. But Cork had a trick up their sleeve that they weren't willing to quite tell the world.
Now we know why Paddy isn't here today. He didn't want to answer to these accusations that he was actually a double agent.
Yeah, and he was exactly right. But that's the funny thing about it. Like, I mean, it was so obvious that you disrupt Paddy Maher, and they did it brilliantly with Luke Mead the whole way through the game. Like, Paddy didn't know whether to be running around after him or whether to be holding his position. He used to follow him a certain distance, and then he'd run back, and it was complete confusion.
Yeah, well, especially I think they highlighted it again in the Sunday game. They seem to be in sixes and sevens at the back there a lot of the time. And you look, it's easy to say it now. You know, they are big men, and you know, lumping ball down on top of them is not the thing to do. But if you have lads that can run, and every one of them are serious athletes and have serious pace, and you can see, you can remember the game. Every ball that Lehan got from a puck out was nearly on the wing all the time. So he was making a 30 or 40 yard burst every time. You know, and when he's making that 30 or 40 yard burst, you know, he's a serious pace. I remember marking him down in Nolan Park, and it was just bear hugging him the whole day, because I knew if I let him go, he's gone and never catch him. And you just can't beat pace, and if you have pace in the team, you know, and with the accuracy of the puck outs of Nash, you know, he can just pinpoint he can just hit them to certain spots, and lads are going to get there and make it because they have the pace to get there.
Yeah, what do you think, Damien? Paddy Maher seemed to be at sixes and sevens.
Oh yeah. Yesterday first of all, just say what a game it was. It was absolutely savage, and it was so enjoyable to watch, and it was doing such brilliant scores. But yeah, just on Pádraig Maher. Yeah, Pádraig Maher was exposed yesterday. You know, he wasn't as influential as he can always be. You know, but you know, it was interesting that tactic. You know, with Luke Mead, you know, just running them all around the place. I happened to mark Pádraig Maher side in a on an All-Star trip over in San Fran, and I was named wing forward, and I was on Pádraig Maher, and I made a conscious decision, like, that I was wasting my time standing toe to toe with Pádraig Maher, even though it was over in San Fran. But I just ran him all around the pitch, and he didn't like it, so he didn't. And then Galway played Tipperary in the challenge match, so he did in 2013 in Pier Stadium, and I happened to mark him again, and all of a sudden I just ran him all around the park, and he didn't like it. And that's exactly what Cork did. And they played to their strengths yesterday. You know, I said it on the show towards the column that we all knew that Cork had brilliant forwards, but could they man up to it? And I just thought yesterday was brilliant. It was brilliant for hurling, and it was good for the Munster Championship that Cork are coming again. But I you know, reading the papers this morning, I just thought there was one very, very interesting quote in it, and it was from Conor Lehan, and he said that they were long enough farting around, you know. And I thought that statement said it all. I'm sure that statement was used a couple of times last week, that the Cork hurlers are long enough farting around waiting for the championship, and you know, it was time for them to put in a performance, and it was a brilliant performance, and congrats to everyone in Cork. It was brilliant to see, a brilliant game.
What did you think of the Jackie Tyrrell piece in the Irish Times? Did you read that last week, where he was saying they've no leaders, and there was some fairly fierce criticism? He says Cork are too nice. He said if you dropped their hurl, Cork could pick the hurl up for you and give it back to you. Like, that was the kind of fellas that they didn't have, the leaders, they didn't have the nasty individuals, they didn't have that. And that's a comment that would be shared among, you know, throughout the country, really. It's not just Jackie Tyrrell, but Jackie went pretty strong on it, which is unusual for hurling folk to go that strong on each other, but he went very hard on him. But then you look at Nash making serious saves, you look at Ellis, you look at Lehan, like, they fairly, you know.
Yeah, well, it's like as if they obviously read the article and were like, enough is enough.
I talked to Nash, funnily enough, after he cut the interview off. He said, I don't read the papers, and he'd enough. You'll hear it now in a minute. But Lehan didn't want to get involved in it either, says, don't read the papers. But, like, I mean, you don't have to read the papers. People will tell you what's been, you know.
Like, it happens, you know, you don't read the papers, but you pick it up somewhere. Somebody in work or your friends or someone will say something saying, oh, well, I heard he was having a go at you. So you'll obviously find out and you'll read it. But they obviously use that as a little bit of motivation. But I also think over the last number of years, they probably let themselves down. You know, they have the quality of hurlers, as Damien was saying, but they just never really produced it when they really needed to, and especially in the Munster Championship. And, you know, there was a bit of pressure on them yesterday, but I know there was five new lads coming in. But look, it was really shit or bust for them yesterday, for everyone and supporters, because no one really expected this performance out of Cork, because they certainly didn't produce anything like it in the league. But it just goes to show what you can do if you have a team, you know, youth again, if you have pace in the team and you have a willing to absolutely die on the field and do what it takes to win the game, and that's what they did. And Tipperary, although they were very, very close to it, they had a couple of chances for goals, and if they got it, they might have went a different way, but they didn't get it. And it seemed to be because Cork were working so hard, the breaks were just popping them into their hand, and they were just happy to get easy scores at vital times.
Yeah, listen, and that's true. And geez, I was down at it, and the Cork fans are unbelievable, and you hear a lot about hurling needs Cork, and I kind of experienced that firsthand of the chant of rebel starts going up, and it's like, you know, it almost like the team gets carried away with that whole thing. But I talked to Kieran Kingston and Anthony Nash after the game, so you can listen to that audio here now first. Kieran, congratulations. That was an unbelievable game and an unbelievable win.
Yeah, I mean, it might have been an unbelievable game for neutrals, but when I sit back and watch it, I'll probably enjoy it a bit more. But on the line, it's not really, can't really enjoy too much. But it seemed like it was a great game, already, no question about it. And obviously, winning was very, very important to us, where we are in our own development, and we're delighted with the win. But more importantly, we asked for a performance, and how we got it today. You know?
Yeah, and you got everything right.
you know, not only the big scoring, but when Tipperary got some vital scores, it looked like, you know, you could fall away, they had the win, but you didn't, you battled back.
And we did. I thought critical moments in the game, like I think the first 15-20 minutes was very important, because when you have 5 debutants, you have 3 19-year-olds and that, and a 20-year-old, you're always worried they get a bit starstruck, and then the next thing the game has gone beyond them, you know. Yeah. So you're worried about that. We got over that, and you're worried about the typical forward line, because they will kill you in a minute and they put you away from you. And when they got the goal, we responded very well to it.
Yeah, you got 2 in a row straight after
two
that.
2 in a row, which turned out to be a 1-point goal as opposed to a 2-point goal or a 3-point goal, and that was very important. And then obviously we got a couple of goals chances, we took those, and that was critical. But I think the most important thing for us was the lads just kept trying, kept working, kept running, kept moving, kept trying to do the right thing, and we can't fault them for that, you know.
Yeah, you took a lot of criticism last year after this game, you know, playing the sweeper and it's not the Cork way, which I suppose, you know, that's all hindsight arguments. Before the game, people would have said you should have played the sweeper, you know, but you seem to get your tactics bang on today.
I mean, look, when you win, you always get your tactics right.
Yeah,
when you lose, you're getting the tactics wrong.
Yeah.
And that's, but I mean, last year we were, like, we took over this role. I mean, we were in a different stage of development as a group, and we just weren't, look, be honest, I think we were probably not developed enough to take on that Tipperary team last year. Okay, I think I would go back and say the plan we had in place was right, and as the year transpired, it was probably proven to be right.
Yeah.
We executed it poorly.
Yeah.
Like, so we executed it poorly, and like, we Tipperary went on last year and they won the Munster final and All Ireland final by a cumulative score of 10 goals. So like, that's what you're up against.
Yeah.
And like, we had thought the tactic was right, but the execution was poor. And like, this year we've evolved the panel a little bit. We've changed around the panel a lot. We've, as I say, 5 new players today. We just tried to play to our strengths today.
Yeah.
And gladly, thankfully, it worked out.
But tactics always seems to be talking about sweepers and defensive tactics. But your tactics up front were great today. Like, I mean, you put Mead on Paddy Maher. You had Lehan running Maher all over the place. You know what I mean? It's not just tactics. When you're going defensive tactics.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, we certainly would have. Yeah, look, there's no point in trying to take on that half back line.
No.
In the air. I mean, you're wasting your time.
Like, yeah, but so you, like, really ran them ragged. Like, that was clearly the plan.
Yeah, and look, we brought the 3 lads in the half forward line, and we rotated them around. They did very, very well, and they walked hard, they ran at them, and they kept deep and winked them in and out, and they did what we asked them to do. And
yeah.
Like, I mean, okay, you can call it tactically, yeah, it worked, but I mean, like, as I say, if you lost, they'd be saying Tip got a tactic. Right, so I wouldn't be getting carried away too much with that. But the most important for us is we asked for a performance today.
Yeah.
We got a performance. The performance gave us a result, and we're extremely happy with that. You know?
Yeah, you must be delighted with Shane as well. He scored 1-3, and it's a full debut. So beating Tip is a nice feeling. Your son playing well is a nice feeling. Yeah. Doing it together must be even, you know, triply nice.
Yeah, it's nice. He tells me he gets 1-4, so I'll have to check that. But yeah, like, I mean, again, a big ask for him. Like, he's still only 19, coming in there, and no matter how prepared you feel you are, the pace of that game, the intensity, the physicality of it, and you'll always be a little bit concerned, not just for Shane, but for the other guys that came in.
Yeah.
As well. Darren Fitzgibbon's only 19, Mark Coleman's only 19, they won't be 20 later on the year, you know.
Yeah, but they're fearless, the young lads, weren't they?
Yeah, they just like to, all of them were outstanding, yeah.
Yeah, all of them.
And they just worked really hard. And they did what we asked them to do, and that's, you can't fault them, you know.
What do you like with Shane on the panel? Like, do you go tough on him because he's your son, or do you kind of stay away from him, or do you let him do his own thing? Because I played football up through the ranks, and my father was always over the team, but he kind of just left me alone.
I'd say he'd prefer if I wasn't in there.
When he establishes himself, you know, there's probably that little bit of pressure until he establishes himself. You're the manager's son and stuff like that.
It does, of course. But he doesn't have my personality. He has plenty more his mother's personality. He's as cool as a breeze, and
right.
He just, nothing fazes him, and that helps him, you know.
Yeah. Oh, just last question. Forget about yourself. Forget about this Cork team. But Cork hurling in general really needed this win, didn't it, Kieran?
It did. Like, I mean, like, Cork hurling is where it is. We haven't won anything for 12 years. Our most championship in 2014.
You're not even counting them.
Yeah. Like, we haven't won All Ireland.
Yeah, All Ireland.
And like, we've made a lot of changes over the last 12 months, bringing in a lot of young lads, a lot of the 21s, and we've gone on a particular road. And we're happy, I think, for the public, for the supporters we've got. I think they needed it. They've come out and supported Cork Hurling through thick and thin over the last number of years. And today they turned out again in their thousands. And I think they deserved a performance today. They deserve more than anything else. They deserved a full-hearted effort, a whole-hearted effort for the 70 minutes. And that's, we spoke about that and we said that's what we wanted to give to people, is a whole-hearted effort for 70 minutes. If it's good enough, it's good enough. And if it's not good enough, you can be proud of what you try to do. You know?
And just on that, did you feel that they weren't giving you that last year? Because looking at me from the outside, it looked like kind of sluggish performances all the time, where they weren't maybe they were, but it didn't look like they were.
I'm not going to go back over last year, but at the end of the day, we were, I suppose, it was a new group just together, new management team, new everything, and it takes a while to build your momentum, and I'm saying we have momentum now. It's only one game, and we won't look back, we won't forget about today, the game by Tuesday, and we'll start focusing on the next one.
Yeah, well, listen, congratulations. Anthony, what's your thoughts after that? Breathtaking stuff.
Yeah, look, I suppose a minute or two after a game, you're going to be pumped. Look, we train very well. You know, I know it's a buzzword, but preparation and, you know, going through processes, you're hearing things like that, but we've believed in that this year, and we've worked very well, and the performances have been there in the league where they weren't last year, you know, but the difference was just belief going into the game. We, under no illusions, they're, if not the best, one of the best teams in the country, and after last year, we were nowhere near it. But it's a win. It's a Munster semi-final against Waterford. So that's all we can think about. All we were thinking about for today was tip play.
Yeah, you're standing back in the goals. Are you aware that you're taking part in an absolute classic when you're in the game?
No. The lads mock me, the goalies do nothing, but you still can't take it in. Your nerves are racked, you're saying the hope and things go well, the only thing you can see is the pride you have and the effort the boys are putting in outside. Day one breaks there that were, Jesus Christ, they broke their arses around the field, and they made a big difference. But the one thing I know is today we drove around the corner, Turles, in the bus today. I haven't seen a Cork crowd like that in Dermot Sullivan Stadium since 2004.
Yeah.
They turned up today with belief, and you know what? People talk shite, but it does give you belief. When you know the Cork support believe in you, it does make a huge difference. So it makes a huge difference for us, and hearing the roars go up around Turles is great,
Yeah, because you buzz off that, don't you, the Cork?
Players do. We do. The lads train hard over the winter, and do you know what? It's a cliche, but people pay hard earned money to come watch us play, and last year we felt we left them down, but it wasn't though the lack of effort.
Yeah.
Every single one of that 30 there.
It looked like it was a lack of effort though for some reason.
No, I tell you straight out. It was just things didn't go our way, alright? Things didn't go our way. Our lads train like dogs. We have the best strength conditioning coach in the country, Declan O'Sullivan. He has as fit as fiddles. And, it's really, really, it's down to that. There was no difference last year. Just things didn't go our way. And we sat down, reviewed it in the air. But, this year things have just been going a little bit better. No, look, we're nowhere near the top tier yet.
Yeah.
We're getting there. We're getting there slowly but surely. Good young fellas coming through. But there's a great buzz, there's a great band there, and there's a great dressing room there.
What do you think of the narrative out there, Anthony, about that you've no leaders and Jackie Tyrrell talking in the Irish Times during the week? When you read things like that, what do you think? Because you're one of the leaders on the team.
When you were playing yourself, did you sit down and read papers and listen to the rumours radio?
Would you be made aware that what was being said?
No, I didn't know that.
Okay.
Didn't know that. I don't look at anything. I don't listen to anything 2 weeks old from again.
Right, okay.
That's why I've avoided you for so long.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it was interesting enough with Kieran Kingston, lads. And you always talk when you hear tactics in hurling is that sweepers flooding the middle third, and it always seems to be negative tactics. But we saw an example of attacking tactics where you've got a great shape in your forwards. You have Patrick Horgan and Harnedy inside on their own. You've Cadigan floating around in front of them, and then you've Mead on Paddy Maher, and you have Leahan and Ronan Maher. And even when they moved Ronan Maher off him to the wing, Leahan followed him. And the lads had no kind of get away from these lads who were cleaning them out, but they couldn't be moved off them.
Yeah, and there's nothing worse, if a fella's cleaning you out or caught two or three balls and you're moved, you're like, oh Jesus, thanks for the God. And then he comes over to you again and he wins the next ball, and you're like, get me away from here.
And how long did that game of chess go on? You know what I mean? You nearly have to just kind of say, Jesus.
Yeah, well, it backfired. Tipperary tried that against Kilkenny, didn't they, famously with the Tommy Walsh and Harcourt were going around in a circle, so it can backfire. But they just saw the matchups, and there was one point where Nash picked out Conor Lehan with a puck out, and Lehan just stood up Ronan Maher and ran around the outside of him, and it was like Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. There was no contest whatsoever. Lehan just left him for dust down the right wing and put it over the bar, and you're just thinking, this is how simple it is. If you get your matchups right and you have a goalkeeper who can find a puck out like that. Now, there was an instance towards the end of the half where Tipperary took a 15-14 lead when Nash delayed for ages with a puck out, and then he put it down it was as if he passed it to Paddy Maher. So it was obviously at one point where there was a function breakdown there, and it went wrong. But for the most part, they knew exactly what they're doing. Lehan on the run, and once he had the ball and he was moving, there was no way the Maher could catch him.
Jeez, Damien, Lehan is some player. And like, I mean, he it's like he doesn't care. If he misses a few, it doesn't seem to bother him. He's a real unique technique. He almost strikes the ball when it's close to the ground, doesn't he? And just kind of bullets it over the bar.
Lehan has been on the scene there now at Cork for a long time, and Lehan is a top class player, so he's an absolutely quality forward, you know. And I've been saying this to you for a long time, Colin, right? To me, you should always play your marquee, your best forward, at number 11, right? And this year they started playing Lehan at number 11, and they've seen a weakness in Ronan Maher, right? And I really seen it myself yesterday watching the match. I didn't realise that Ronan Maher lacked so much pace, and it was like the tone of Lehan. Every time you get the ball, you're to take him on. Every time you're to get the ball, you're to take him on. And Lehan has turned up trumps for Cork. I just thought yesterday that he was absolutely brilliant. And also, they've given the free-taking responsibilities to Lehan as well, which is now added to him, right? So now he misses a point or two from play, which we're all entitled to do, but he still has that added incentive of also taking frees to settle him down, you know? And we all questioned how it would add to Horgan's game, you know, with the freeze. Horgan steps up and he hits 4 points in play in Munster Championship. But, you know, just going back to Lehan won the battle from the very start. He took on Tipperary. He cut through the middle. He took on his man every time. He got some brilliant scores. So that his free taking was excellent. He was a real leader for Cork yesterday. And as I said, just a statement, we're long enough farting around. I just thought it was a really, really interesting statement. And Cork stood up to the mark yesterday. And I, you know what I couldn't get over with Cork yesterday as well, right? After the match, with Hamady, you know, they swapped his jersey, so that, and he had Callahan as well, that took off his jersey there in the match. I could not get over the physical condition of these guys. The chests on them. Like, these lads have done some amount of training, they know by them. You know, they're in some shape, and they were up for the fight yesterday. And as I said, it was brilliant to see Cork winning and standing up to it and answering the critics. And they're in a Munster semi final, and anything can happen now.
Yeah. Now, you could say they kind of rode their luck a little bit in the first half. There was two goal chances where Tipperary were straight on through, and it was like the runners from the middle were kind of overpowering them. And I was thinking, at any stage, Tipperary could kind of burst in and put this game away. But like, Cork had loads of excuses to throw in the towel there, especially when Tip got the goal. They had been ahead for so long. The goal got them back equal, I'm pretty sure. Or maybe got them one ahead, and Cork went straight back down, got the next two scores for them to go one ahead. And like, I mean, everything you want from a team, character, never say die, all these things we're not associating with Cork. How the hell have they changed it around like this?
Yeah, no, like, full credit to them. Even at half time I was thinking, Jesus, you know, Cork have played out of their skins. They won't be able to do that again. And Tipperary, were, you know, didn't do any hurling whatsoever, and they were still in the game, you know, still dangerous. And they had their couple of chances for goals, and they didn't get them. So I was thinking, surely they're going to get a couple of chances in the second half, you know, and come out a different team. But fair play to Cork. They really, you know, the first couple of scores Cork got in the first few minutes of the second half, and they really just went down from there. But just to pick up on Lehan, you know, I've watched him for so long, and I think this thing about him saying he's inconsistent, okay, look, players are up and down all the time, but he's always there, he's always trying, he's always taking on his man. Okay, the end product mightn't always been there, but again, there again yesterday, I think he had three wides, and two of them were at vital stages, but it didn't bother him. Like, he still went over across the other side of the field, got the puck out and put it over the bar, when at that time you're after hitting a bad wide, you're thinking, oh Jesus, yeah, you know, I'll just hand this off, or I'll take my man and get it free. But no, he put it straight over.
He has it.
Sorry, just the thing about the Cork attitude and how you said, like, the way that they battled back. I think one of the reasons it's kind of hard to imagine is, and this is no criticism of the man, is Kieran Kingston in interviews doesn't come across as a kind of rabble-rousing. He's not an Anthony Daly, he's not a Brian Cody. There's no, like, air of menace to Kieran Kingston whatsoever. He seems like a really polite, nice, quiet-spoken man, almost like Galway manager who gets criticised for the same thing. So you're kind of thinking, how does he inspire the team in this way? So, and obviously he does, and you know, The Rock obviously is a very inspirational character as well, but I think one of the reasons Cork kind of take you by surprise is that their manager is kind of quite understated as well.
Yeah, no, he is understated, and he's softly spoken, and like, even in that interview. But still, like, I mean, tactically, like, I mean, I would have thought last year that tactically they were all over the place, because they tried that sweeper, it didn't work, they weren't working hard enough. But tactically, up front, they got everything right. And, like, I mean, you talk, like, Galway, I know, Damien, you're after saying that you did that on Paddy Maher, like, 4 years ago. But like, I mean, teams weren't really doing it on Paddy Barr in the Championship all last year. They only started doing it now because Galway put Mannion on him. And suddenly, like, I mean, Michael Ryan said to me yesterday, we're going to bring you that audio in part two, that they would much prefer if the forwards stayed in their positions and contested hookouts. Like, I mean, sure, that's the obvious thing. Like, I mean, but you wonder why this hasn't been done. And if Ronan Marr is struggling with pace, why? How have we not seen teams expose this before?
Yeah, well, I think what Cork did, sort of, is Cork, you remember Cork beat Tipperary now in the league as well. So, you know, they weren't afraid of Tipperary. They weren't. And I reckon, as I said to you, after the Tip or the Cork would study the Wexford league semi-final and the Galway league final would find home. And they would find faults in this Tipperary team. And they did find faults. They found faults in Pádraig Maher, where they were exposing, they found faults in Ronan Marr. They found faults in the Tipperary full back line, so that, you know, where they ran the two cornerbacks all over the place. You know, like Cadigan, 3 points from play there again yesterday, and was running right, was winning free. Then they had their own little tactics. You know, it was interesting whether they meant this or not. They had 5 newcomers Cork had yesterday, and they were all playing on the one side of the pitch. Now, I don't know whether that was actually a tactic or whatever, it was up the left hand side, but like their 5 newcomers yesterday were absolutely brilliant. And Kingston must be fierce proud of his young lad there today. You know, he went out there and he got stuck inside it. A newcomer, you know, and like he's odds on now. He's up there now, definitely. Possibility of young player of the year. 1-4 from play in Munster Championship against Tipperary. Like, it's absolutely brilliant. Left hander, he broke his leg last year. He came back from a horrific injury. And to put in a performance like that and the shape he's in for a 19-year-old.
Yeah.
Go on.
We called that the minute we saw him in during the league, I remember on the shows. Like, I mean, this fella's ready for senior hurling. He's like just built and he's fearless. He's a serious bit of stuff.
Like, then you had in midfield Fitzgibbon.
Brilliant.
Another newcomer from Charleville. He was going around Turles there yesterday, like he 5 years experience inside him. And then especially in the second half, that wing back Mark Coleman, he just seems to be like a sweeper. Like, I was watching the game at home with my wife, and I even said, who's Mark? And that lad, he was sweeping up ball and just 10 taking line balls and everything, driving up the field off his left hand side. So Cork won the battle, you know. They got stuck into it, you know. And I'm delighted with the Cork attitude and the performance. It was great to see. It was just a brilliant game of hurling for spectators to watch. So, you know, I'm going to give Cork a huge amount of praise. Fair play to Cork on the performance they gave yesterday.
But it was even the ball they were giving into the forwards. Not only was the movement, and not only was the shape of the forwards brilliant, not only was the movement of the forwards brilliant, but then the ball was there to match it. Like, the ball was low, it was diagonal, it was a real mix of things. And like, I know Sunday Game criticised the Tip full backline. Jesus, there's not much you can do. No. They were hung out to dry there.
No, you can't do anything. When a good ball has been put into lads that have pace inside and forward, and there's nothing you can do. Like, okay, you can say, okay, they're getting dragged everywhere, but look, there's absolutely nothing you can do. And what was really impressive was the Cork halfback line. They, and not only tactically up front, they absolutely killed Tipperary, but at the back as well. They just all held their positions when needed. And Ellis was just absolutely dominating the ball in the air. And every time Coleman and Joyce were going down the wings, it was all composure. They weren't just running up the line, you know, and getting stuck in a cul-de-sac. They were, you know, a few times they actually came back, hit the ball across to diagonal into a bit of space, and that's where Horgan thrives on.
They were doing what Tipperary did to teams last year. They were absolutely harassing the halfback line, so that no good ball was going in, and at the other end their movement was just killing them, and they had enough time in their own half back line and midfield to play in these diagonal balls. And we were saying it all last year, like, you can't defend against the Tipperary full forward line. It's not because they're that good, it's because the ball coming in is that good. And that's what the Cork forwards got, as you said. But they also had the added bonus of they had a very definite plan. They were rotating, you know, they were giving each other space, and it was just like, it couldn't have worked any better than it did.
Yeah, and we haven't even mentioned Spillane on John McGrath, who put him in his pocket. A great bit of stuff. Yeah. Isn't it unbelievable how 5 young lads like that
can change?
Like, they haven't won stuff coming up along, but they don't have to have won stuff. Like, they are maybe the 5 outstanding players. You know, I always think teams like counties like Leash need to come up having won stuff because the winner's mentality isn't there.
Yeah.
But with Cork, with their arrogance, you might not necessarily need to have won stuff. You need to just be an outstanding individual. And they've taken 5 outstanding individuals from underage and transformed their senior team with them.
Yeah, like even in the interview beforehand and afterwards, you know, sometimes the managers just trot out the same stuff. But maybe I have to take him as what he actually means it by saying age is irrelevant. He was just playing the players that were on form, and they had a good break since the league, and they played a lot of challenge games and in-house games. He said, and you know, maybe he just did pick the team on form, and it didn't matter who they were, and it just happened that there was five good young lads. And would another manager have the courage to do that? I very much doubt it. It certainly wouldn't happen in Dublin. Well, it might now because we've no players. But it certainly wouldn't happen in a lot of other counties. Picking five young lads on the same side on the team, and look what they do. They absolutely repaid them in buckets there yesterday.
Damien, how big of a lift will this be to the five young fellas, like to play their first ever game and to play so well? Like, I mean, it's, you know, some young fellas can get scarred from a bad first experience, but like, this is the complete opposite. These lads could just grow another few inches after that.
Every time you play well, whether it's club or county, Colin, every time you play well, every person is only human. The buzz you get and the hype and the confidence that you get from when you play well is incredible. And them five young lads would have went out last night, right? And the saying is they would have thought they were Tommy Bowe going around the nightclubs and the pubs. So they'd have been on a high, so they would, and with their friends and all the boys, and they're mad for hurling. And now he's asked Kingston to give them their chance. They put in their performance, they put in top notch performances, the five young lads, right? And they're going to train, and all they have to do now is stay adding to it, right? And the five of them were brilliant. Like, Kingston put his faith in them, but they put their faith in Kingston, and it was five newcomers, five brilliant performances, and it's great to see. Like, there's not many people that would give five debutants you know, their first game, but it just shows the Cork management. They use the league very, very intelligently. They've looked at these players in the league, and they've played lots of challenge matches, as Colin said, in the last couple of weeks, and just great performances. Because that, as you said there a second ago, like, for Balan there to put John McGrath technically in his pocket, you know, I know John got 1-1, but it would have been one of these quieter games, so as, but just fair play to five young lads. Hats off them. Absolutely brilliant. Well done.
Yeah, look, absolutely, Cork were superb, and you have to give them every praise, and they deserve every bit of it. But I was really surprised at Tipperary in the second half. You know, they were panicking a little bit, and their default seemed to be lump the ball in Callan when Callan's getting like double marked all the time, which was very strange. They didn't change that at all, and I thought for a team with so much experience, and you know, everyone was speaking so highly of them, and you know, tipping them for the All-Ireland again this year and everything, that they would have had something else up their sleeve rather than just launch it in and Callan and hope he wins it and does the business for us. And it wasn't working.
Yeah, no, it definitely wasn't working. And we're going to talk about Tipperary next, because we've got some audio from Michael Ryan.
Let's chill the beans. There still is a lot of work to be done yet. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. But I tell you, give us a year and a bit. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. Let's chill the beans. Beans. Let's chill the beans. Let's chill the beans. Beans. Let's chill the beans. There still is a lot of work to be done yet. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. But I tell you, give us a year and a bit. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans.
Yeah, okay, I spoke to Michael Ryan after the game as well, so have a listen to this.
Michael, what are your thoughts after that one? It was a classic, but that's probably no good to you.
Well, you know what? No, it's not any good to me, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I'm charged and boys are charged with minding this bunch of Tipperary hurlers. But at the end of the day, you know, I always say we much prefer to be involved in a really, really good game of hurling, and a game that's played in the right way and in the right spirit. And I think what was served up out there today was classic Munster Championship at its best.
Yeah.
We're at the wrong side of it. But I really thought Cork were good. I thought they were really, really good. And were the better team on the day, without a doubt.
Yeah, is it in a way, like, you played really well? So, like, you know, after the league final, you're kind of scratching your head saying, where did that come from? But, like, today you were just beaten by the better team on the day.
And I view it exactly like that. And obviously, you know, we'd have to, you know, sit down and study the game. But, you know, and there was telltale signs during that game. And I said, God, Cork are really, really, really good here today. And, you know, it wasn't quite sticking for us. And, you know, we did create a couple of openings. We would have loved to have, you know, gotten some big deposits out of those opens in the first half. But look, that's the game. Yeah. But it was a really, really good game of hurling here in Thurles today. And I thought, you know, it was real Munster Championship. And it was, you know, it was one, I know this is, you know, typical, you know, throwaway comments, but I thought it was a really classic game of hurling, and I thought Cork were excellent.
Yeah, were you expecting that level of performance out of Cork though? Because we all know they've made improvements this year, but not, I didn't think to that level.
It was exactly as I expected,
really?
Coming out of Cork. Yeah, I know. We know what their players are like. You know, like that forward line. You know, I suppose the new ones that we weren't too familiar with was Luke Mead and young Kingston. And
yeah.
You know, but the other four, you know, they've been around for years, and they're absolutely outstanding forwards. You know, their skill level was exceptional. But I thought the energy that they brought, particularly in that middle third, was the swing factor, and they certainly won that battle.
Yeah, they dragged your half back line all over the place. That's hugely such a launching pad for your game, that they kind of disrupted that.
Yeah, we'd like them to sit and you know, fight for the puck outs man to man, but
Paddy didn't know whether to follow Mead around the place or whether to let him off or what to do.
Look, that's the game.
Yeah,
you know, that is the game, and I think they got all their. I think they imposed their will on the game, and you know, credit Cork.
Yeah, has all this talk of emulating Kilkenny been a distraction to you this year? Because you've been running a tight ship media-wise, and you've not been allowing the lads to say anything, you know, and I see what you're trying to do. But, like, has it been seeping in, or how hard has it been to block out?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you brought that up now, because there's no such thing as a media ban. We don't have a media ban.
Ah, you do?
No, we don't.
But you didn't let Shamie talk at a Hurley launch one day.
Yeah, but hold on a second now. He was at a Hurley launch, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
there's a media ban if he can't talk at that.
Absolutely not. I think you guys need to do your job. Don't depend on us guys for quotes. You know,
okay.
Go earn your living like the rest of us.
But if he's at a media day and he says to the media that I'm not allowed to talk, then he's obviously on a ban.
Well, I think he's carrying a mixed message. You know, and I think there's, you know, there's always an element of that. Look, you know, we are trying to run our show the best way we possibly can. You know. It's not our job, and with the greatest respect, it is not our job to fill print media or airwaves. That's your job.
No, I understand that.
Our job is to get these boys ready to play hurling.
And Michael, I can see why you did it as well, because one or two throwaway comments about this Kilkenny thing, because this was the narrative right throughout the league, because you were performing so well. So I can see why running a tight ship would make sense.
Yeah, well, look, you know, I think you know, from what I've... I think that any comparisons between a Tipperary and a Kilkenny side, number one, we've our own identity, they've their own identity, they're very proud of their identity, and what a period of time they're after having over the last 15 years. We're still scraping to, you know, to form our own identity and become relevant and, you know, achieve as much as we possibly can for our county. But that's where the comparisons start and stop.
Yeah. Yeah. So what did you say to the players just finally after the game?
Look, you know, your typical stuff, nothing, you know, they're very, very disappointed bunch in there. They are really trying to do well, and they give us total and utter commitment. And we've just got to pick ourselves up. It's as simple as that, you know. We've got to go to work tomorrow, go to college, wherever we've got to do. We're just normal people who are going about our business. Our passion is sport, and it's got to be put in perspective like that. But these are a great bunch of guys, and they'll be fine.
Yeah, Michael Ryan getting a little bit spiky with me there, lads, on media bans. He was very disappointed after the game. I think he was a little bit shell-shocked. He said he wasn't one bit surprised, obviously, about the way Cork played. I'd say he was a little bit surprised about how Cork played. But the reality of it is here, lads, is that Tip have conceded 548 in their last two games. Now, you want to look at that game and say, what a brilliant spectacle. But at the same time, lads, like, you can't be conceding that much. And I'll throw Cork into the same boat as well. Remember Tip and Kilkenny played a draw in an All-Ireland final. It was one of a huge high scoring game. Callanan scored about 5 off JJ, and then in the All-Ireland replay it wasn't the same high scoring at all. So, like, it's a weird way one game, once that kind of defending malaise maybe sets in, it just becomes a shootout, and it's hard to explain why.
Yeah, it is hard to explain why. It could be the case that maybe after the league final, you know, Michael Ryan and the Tipperary has probably thought that that was an off day. You know, that was an off day. That's not us. You know, we're better than that. And we're, you know, the Cup Championship in the next couple of weeks, we'll lift it now, and we, you know, everything will be fine. But it pretty much nearly happened again. So he'll have to rethink, you know, a lot of things, a lot of positional. Will he play, you know, the same players in the defensive setup again like that? You know, I know Carl Barrett is probably injured now, and he won't be there, so he'll have to rejig things in. But he certainly can't say that's an off day again, because they were absolutely blown away in large periods of the game by the Cork forwards, and they need to look at a little bit more pace probably in the half back line, because if Cork can do that, you know, other teams are going to try and do that as well. They're going to try and isolate these lads and put runners on them and pace out in the half forward line to try and get Paddy. Now look, Paddy Maher is not particularly slow.
No,
like, okay, he's a big man. He doesn't like maybe running over and back all the time. He'd prefer just to stay there. But if you have someone with serious pace like Lehan or someone like that on him, they're going to struggle.
The day of that Tipperary half back line, Damien, dominating puckouts in the air, that's gone. If you're a manager and you're putting puckouts on them from now on, you're completely tactically inept.
Oh, completely tactically stupid. That is 100%. And you take Cork yesterday, right? They have a top class goalkeeper, Anthony Nash, and he's won the finest strike of a ball off your left hand side, right? And he's able to hit the ball with such power and precision, like a bullet, right? And yesterday he'd done that consistently. So there was nothing going down, launching down on top of the two Maras or the man Kennedy, right? Well, actually, I think one ball actually went down on top of Kennedy and Kingston, and Kennedy caught it, and I don't remember him catching too many more, right? But he was hitting balls out like bullets, so it was. And that's the way teams are going to be doing it. They're not going to be hitting balls down on top of the half-back line. They're going to be trying to find men, or hit the ball into space, or hit the ball into where you're running onto it, where you can feel it at roughly head height. Sort of. So, like, what's going to happen, I think, going forward is the Tipperary have conceded huge scores in the last two games, right? That they're going to have to tactically set themselves up where they're technically going to have nearly five players across the half-back line. I expect Breen to go back out to midfield, even though Breen had a brilliant game there yesterday. He scored 6 points from play, which is phenomenal, you know, where you'd actually question whether he'd be on the team if Ford wasn't suspended, right? But I expect Breen to go back out to midfield, so I do, where he'll be a big help for the likes of Brendan Maher, so with his powerful running. You know, I thought it was interesting that Corrin was playing yesterday, because I don't think he got an awful lot of game time during the league. So I think Tipperary are going to have to reshuffle everything. So they are. I personally would push Bubbles Dwyer out number 11. So I think he's too good of a hurler to be playing in corner four, waiting for a ball to be delivered in. I thought he looked sharp yesterday, particularly in the first half. But yeah, I think Bubbles needs to go out to number 11. And when Bonner Maher comes back fully fit, he will be a huge addition. But Tip are going to have to start going with nearly five across the half back line to try prevent high scoring and getting bodies around the ball. But Tip have been a huge disappointment, huge disappointment for All Ireland champions. I expected more out of them. I'm a massive fan of the Tipperary Hurling team, but they've just been disappointing for me so far, especially in the last two big games.
It's a funny one, because, like, I mean, what always jumps into my head is something Alan Brogan told me when Dublin won the All-Ireland in 2011, and that the you know, the thing is, a manager is usually loyal to those lads the year after, and he felt that it was the same lads the following year, and they never thought it at the time, but looking back on it, that level, you've won that All-Ireland, the manager has confidence in you because you've won that All-Ireland, and maybe that level just drops off, because this Tipperary team is the same team whose defence was very tight last year. Yeah. So, like, I mean, is it that they're just dropping off that 5% throughout the field? So they're allowing Cork that good ball in, where last year they would be doing that little bit more harrying. So it's the fullback line's been hung out to dry because everyone's dropping down that little bit, and they're, you know, the scapegoat.
I think it could be a little bit of that, but you also have to think, you know, have they come up against a team with a half forward line with so much pace and a goalkeeper that can hit the ball into that space, you know, okay, that you're running to all the time. Not too many goalkeepers out there like Nash that can hit the puck outs like that. That you can start running and the ball is going to be there. You can get to it, you know. And I don't know if they've come up against that really, because there's not too many keepers out there that are like Nash. A lot of them will just try and do it, but the midfielders will get it, or it'll be in too high, and it'll either go out over the line or the halfback line will win it. So it's difficult.
I think I can't think you can put it all down to the quality of the ball. I think there was a couple of early yellow cards for the full back line, Cathal Barrett got away with taking Cadigan's helmet off him, and then Mikey Cahalan's goal, that was an all right ball. It wasn't that good a ball, and like two members of the full back line went for the one ball. They both missed it, and it dropped. There just seemed to be, whether it was confusion or a lack of communication, but they seemed incredibly uncomfortable with some things that couldn't just be put down to the quality of ball, I thought, anyway, from the first minute to the last.
Yeah, it's weird now that Brendan Cummins is writing today that Shane McCallan was isolated inside and his movement is poor. Just too many occasions where a Tipperary player around the middle third looked up to put a ball in front and he wasn't showing. He looked frozen, stuck to the ground. Just wondering with Shane McCallan, because you're right, Conal, it did look like, especially with Paddy Maher, his go-to ball is down into that corner where they've left a bit of space for Shamey. Like, how would a hand injury be the worst type of injury for a hurler? Because, like, I mean, he obviously can't practice. You know what I mean? His touch is off. Like, whereas maybe if you had a leg injury, you could still go out and bang the ball up against the wall. You know, you can't run. So maybe in hurling, the hand injury sets you back an awful lot more than, like, a roll in your ankle, for example.
It could have been a small issue, but it still doesn't take away from the fact that, you know, every time he was isolated and the ball was being given up to him, he was trying his best to win it, and Callum was up his
He marked him very tight,
very tight, and he was being really physical with him. And any time he didn't get the actual ball into his hand, he was trying to flick it up in the air. There was two or three Cork lads in straight away, giving him hits and smacks. And there was no Tipperary lad trying to. I remember one time Callan came all the way out nearly to midfield, and he hand passed the ball back to just beyond midfield to try and get it. So, like, I was just very surprised to see that was their default when they're in under a bit of pressure to let's launch it in on top. You know, they didn't seem to, for a team that are supposed to be so experienced and so developed on in their game plan, that they didn't have something else to do. You know, I know Cork were holding their shape and everything like that, but surely there was something else that they could have thought of.
I thought the same thing at one point in the second half, or in the first half, where Bubbles had the ball. Now, he had his back to goal, but he kind of made a kind of high risk pass back to Dan McCormack for a shot, and McCormack missed. And I was kind of thinking, why is Bubbles giving that pass off? Would you not turn and try and drive towards goal? And there was in the second half, so they got a couple of points which almost seemed like they were from set plays. Brendan Maher's second point, where he kind of ran on the loop and took a hand pass, it just seemed like they were working really hard for a lot of their scores, whereas then the ball went up the other end and like the hand just pinned his ears back and blasted past. It just seemed like Cork were getting their scores easier, and Tip were kind of labouring over things and just maybe overthinking it, I thought.
So what do you change here, lads, for Tipperary? Like, I mean, I agree they have been a huge disappointment in their last two games, and I wonder, like, Michael Ryan got a little bit spiky with me there when I kind of talked to him about, you know, the comparisons with Kilkenny and the media bans and stuff like that. But let's be honest here, like, they were being talked up as in going to dominate hurling throughout the league, and that's not their fault. They were just playing really well throughout the league, and they were honest enough to say, look, we're targeting this league. But, like, did it get inside their heads that, you know, maybe that we're a bit better than we are? And because this is a fair fall down from the sky for them, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think I just read the paper earlier on this morning. Nick English was saying it's the same with every Tipperary team in his lifetime, that when they've won the All-Ireland, the next year is always a problem for some reason or another.
Right.
And I think the last time when they won it, they were blaming that they went into celebrating too long. And this year, you know, they were really focused in. It's nearly straight away after they won the All-Ireland, they were thinking about the championship next year. But look, I don't know. This Tipperary team is not a bad team still. You know,
no.
they will rejig a few things. They'll probably shore up the defence a little bit, as Damien was saying. And the chances are they're probably going to get a relatively, you know, easy enough qualifiers. They're going to get going again. And they'll certainly be thereabouts in late August anyway.
See, how can they rejig their defence? Because, like, I mean, Michael Ryan and all their players are on record for saying they're not going to go down the line of sweepers or anything like that. So, like, I mean, they're always going to play orthodox. So the only thing that we can change things then is maybe personnel or something. And do they have personnel, or will they break that half-back line up, you know?
Well, they might play their midfielders back a little bit more, a little bit deeper, and not give them the licence to go forward as much, maybe, just to try and hold it for certain periods of the game, so they're not going to be conceding huge scores. Because if they concede huge scores, it's really hard. Okay, it looks really nice and the hurling is great. You know, we let give you a go and you see can you score more than us. But I think it's too serious now for Tipperary. But look, as I said, they'll probably get a couple of easy draws. They won't really know until the next big game that they have. It could all work fine for them. In the first qualifiers, they could get someone easy enough. But
okay, Wexford or Kilkenny, though, right? Could they?
Yeah, could do.
Well, Wex would be handy enough, wouldn't it?
No, it'd be perfectly nice to you all day.
And Davey will go and play a sweeper then and just not learn one little thing from everything that he's seen.
Well, but getting Jason Ford back, I know he's not exactly, he hasn't been he hasn't been in there for years and years, kind of been in and out of the team, but clearly he was in Michael Ryan's plans. And speaking of Davey took him out of his plans. To bring him back in, does that free up, if you leave Breen in midfield, does that leave Brendan Maher, bring Brendan Maher back into the half-back line if you feel you need to do something there? And now they need a cornerback more than likely because Barrett's injury looked bad. So did Paddy Stapleton get him back in? Do we lose Paddy?
Yeah, Paddy isn't on the podcast today. Maybe he got that.
Maybe he got the call last night. Yeah.
What do you think Tip need to do, Damien?
If I was Tip, I think I'd look at the way the Cork forwards are hurling at the moment. I'd maybe position their full forward line the same way the Cork full forward line position says. I think I could see the next day maybe there being two new cornerbacks. I think there might be a new halfback on the team. I think which would mean there could be a new midfield. I could see about five different position or personnel different changes going in. I think the Tip team needs a big shake up now at the moment and a good kick up the backside. Some of them. They don't seem motivated, some of them, at the moment. They're not as motivated as they were last year. As I said, I can see Breen going back out to midfield. I said that I put Bubbles out centre forward. I think Bubbles has more to offer as well. Obviously, if Bonner will come back in. So maybe not a bad idea there, Mikey, putting likes of Brendan Maher back into the half-back line, just certain things. They will definitely tighten up that back line, I can assure you one thing. I said it before, Colin, that the biggest disadvantage or the advantage, whichever way you want to see it, Tipperary, that you're hurled against them. And that has been proven. Wexford, even, like, the first time in a league semi-final in a long, long time, like, without, if they didn't, give away five sloppy goals to well up there with the performance of Tipperary, Galway then completely blew them away. And Cork, once again, so, as I said, they need to tighten up their back line and maybe start getting more movement into their forward line. Shamey, you're saying there, wasn't as lively as he usually does be, and a hand injury and all that. But I'd say if Shamey got the goal that he missed, which Anthony Nash saved, it might have been a different performance as well for Shamey. But to be fair, a bit of praise has to be given to Cahalan. I thought he was fair tough yesterday, and he got some pep talk from the Rock yesterday before that match because it was up there in that type of performance. But Tip need to go back to tactics. They need to up it. I was chatting with a good friend of mine, there's some Tip, and he goes, "Oh, it'll be a long summer yet." He said to me, "Jeez, like, it can only be as long as they want it to be." And it's just been disappointing for Tip, but they need to up it big time.
Yeah, no, I think they will. Right, lads, that's great stuff. We'll be back in a second with performance of the weekend.
After the match with with Marty Morrissey and the Marty squad, and the big thing for me yesterday with Clare versus Galway was,
hang on, did you ask permission to do the Marty squad there?
I didn't but I was only a special guest. That Thursday you asked me the same question when I started Bubbles, and I said it yesterday on the Marty squad that yes, I would have started Bubbles for that game yesterday. That was the first I heard of Johnny King coming back with the Galway squad. I was asked just in the Marty squad.
Here, Damien, are you getting paid for Marty squad plugs on our show here?
That's three.
Wait, no, I do that completely voluntarily.
He hits it! It's over the bar!
Move away from the messing there, lads, right? We have a serious show to do here, right?
All right, lads, performance of the weekend. Mikey, we'll start with you. Who do you nominate and make a case for him?
Goalkeepers Union, I'm going to go for Anthony Nash. I know it was a game for forwards, but his puckouts were, his puckouts are always good, but they really, everybody was on the same wavelength as him yesterday, and you could see what that meant. And also his save from Callanan, that was just a phenomenal save. He's so brave, and I think when you see Gleeson maybe letting one kind of dribble past him at the other end, you do see the value of having a goalkeeper who is just, he's going to make those 30-70% saves. So, and that plus his puckouts, Anthony Nash.
Yeah, no, and he was outstanding. I think you're being a bit harsh on Gleeson, because Gleeson might have saved that if it was a miss hit. It was a complete miss hit from Kingsley.
Topped it, and
a poxy little bounce took it over.
But no one can disprove me saying that Anthony Nash would have saved it.
No, yeah, okay, Anthony Nash would have saved it with his leg or something like that. Right, Conal, what do you think?
I think it's all Cork players we're really looking at, and there's a few stand out, but I think for me Mark Ellis was absolutely superb yesterday. To see him, you know, catching ball, driving it on, you know, winning a lot of dirty ball around the middle there, which really, it's really important in big games, and doing the simple things right. He at no stage did he try and, you know, open up the shoulders and have a shot himself, which a lot of times it does happen. You know, he played the percentages all the time and did everything absolutely superb. And I think if Cork are to go far this year in the championship, they need to have, you know, like the half back line they used to have of old, and he's certainly replacing Ronan Curran, and there at number six is he could be even on yesterday's performance even better than him, because he's so tall and he has huge amount of hurling and he has serious pace to go forward. So I would give him performance of the week.
Yeah, I think his last 10 minutes were unbelievable, and in the first half he caught some great ones. Breen scored 6 points off him. But I wouldn't blame Ellis for that, being at the game. A lot of Breen's scores were throwbacks out. A centre back really shouldn't be out marking that anyways. He should be kind of holding his centre forward position. A lot of Breen's scores were very, very similar type of scores, weren't they?
Yeah, they were, yeah. But I think, yeah, you're right. It probably wasn't, okay, look, his man might have scored a lot, but he did pick up a lot of ball. And what was really impressive was that, you know, he stayed where he was. He stayed deep, trying to protect the kind of D, if you like. A lot of the times the ball, they were trying to give into Callaghan, to Bray, when they were starting to panic. And there he was, you know, picking up the breaks or just batting it straight down, doing the very simple things. And it's the simple things that we always say, simple things that win games. And that was certainly a lot of those, what he did, led to Conor Lahan's scores or led to Horgan's scores. So, you know, you have to give him credit. Forwards nearly always get credit, so I'll just go with a defender this time.
Yeah, no, fair play. Damien, who are you going for?
I'm going to go with Shane Kingston. I thought yesterday for a debutant, 1-4 from play, left hand on top. I just thought he was brilliant. I thought his energy levels were brilliant. I thought his work rate was brilliant. He's the manager's son, you know, so that comes with another little bit of added pressure, you know, lads saying maybe he shouldn't be on it or why was he picked, you know. So just to score 1-4 against Tipperary, first round of the Munster Championship, on his debut, deserves an awful amount of praise. And I thought these 5 scores were brilliant scores, you know, and the goal might have been lucky, but sometimes that's what you need. You need a lucky break. So my nod goes to Kingston.
Yeah, and even though the goal was a lucky enough, the strike on it, the sidestep back in on that side was outstanding. You know what I mean? He didn't rush it. He didn't panic. Not many players on their debut would, like, I mean, sometimes when you get a ball in front of goal, you just immediately want to shoot because you panic. But the good players will always take their time and jink back in. And that's what he did. I was mentioning to Kieran Kingston there about the pressure on Shane. And, like, I mean, knowing from having my father over Portlaoise teams and Laois teams, you really have to establish yourself on the team before you start feeling comfortable. Because, like, I mean, there was years with me under 14 and under 16 where he might have been doing me a little bit of a turn getting me in wing back there. Like, I appreciate it now, but, like, I mean, I remember thinking at the time, geez, I need a good game here. Yeah. Like, the lads are going to start talking here. I'm not sure I should be on this team even. But, like, I mean, I say that's for Shane now, that's the end of that now. He doesn't need to think, even if that was in his head, you know, Damien, it shouldn't be in it from now on.
Absolutely not. And that game will bring him on the world, and the confidence that he'll get from that performance yesterday will, you know, absolutely build him on for the summer. So, and like, he's now put his hat in the ring for Young Player of the Year as well, which is brilliant. You know, some people maybe it was only a one-horse race there for a stage, you know, but Kingston now has thrown his hat in there for Young Player of the Year and deservedly so. And as I said, first round game on your debut to score 1-4 from play is some feat, so this, and just delight for him. As I said, it's not easy being the father son, and there does come with extra pressure, and you can say what you like, so fair play to him.
Yeah, okay, I'm going for a combination of Coleman and Spillane, who are both brilliant, who are both young, and to tied up that left half of the defence. brilliant, brilliant players. And in fairness, Fitzgibbon could be thrown into the mix too. He's a big, long range fella, loads of pace. They've loads of pace in their team now, Cork have. They're a completely different prospect. But you couldn't talk about performance the weekend without giving it to Conor Lehan. A machine, an absolute machine, just throwing it onto the hurl and taking off. Yeah, and I caught up with him after the game as well. It was a very busy boy down in Thurles yesterday. So here's that audio.
Conor, congratulations. That must have been some game to play in.
Oh, it was unbelievable. So you don't need me to say it, but from start to finish, you could see it just as it goes to score after score after score.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of hurling you'd want to see as well, you know, in a crowd perspective as well. But I know it was incredible to be part of it, and I get to come out to the better end of it. I can't explain. I can't really enjoy it as much at the moment. It'll be kind of like tomorrow and the week coming that we'll enjoy it, but it's unbelievable feeling.
It's been some turnaround from last year, Conor. What do you put it down to?
You know, it's a few things really. We all just kind of said to ourselves, like, we're just wasting our time every year, just kind of going out and not performing and stuff, really call each other out, and really decided to put our head down and just take it game by game, train by training, keep it as simple as possible. And like, that's all the difference it was, really. It's just some attitude more than anything. Like.
Yeah. Were you expecting such an open game there?
Well, like, the way we all wanted to play, then, yeah, like, we kind of wanted it to come like that. And we knew the big tip is a pure hurling team, like, you know, so, like, you know, you're going to get a ferocious game off them. And it was just a battle, like, you know, just, it was a tip for that the whole game.
Yeah, they say you shouldn't take on tip in a shootout, but you did.
Yeah. I know, look, you know how good their forwards are and all that, like, you just got to throw everything at it, like, and, like, come out and, like... Like I said, come out the better end of it. Is like, it's like we're not used to this kind of feeling, you know.
Yeah,
I know, it's a sad thing to say.
The last few years,
like,
yeah, you've been much maligned. There's been a lot of criticism during the week about you not having leaders, yeah. Conor. But you know, like, you stood up there today, and Ellis stood up there today, yeah, in vital positions, yeah, in the middle, you know. And maybe that's put that to bed, or did that take? Did that hurt you? Those kind of comments.
Like, so honestly, I wouldn't read or listen to any of that kind of stuff. So honestly, you're better off. Like, but look. Like, we're not deluded, like, you know, it's the quarter final, like, you know,
yeah.
So I know it's kind of different because we're not used to kind of beating, like, the whole good tip our Ireland champions, but like there's a semi final there to be played still, like, so like to get too hard ahead of ourselves would be a wrong thing, so we're enjoying this now today, but like tomorrow and next week is in the week, like,
yeah.
So.
You got the tactics right in the forwards, didn't you, Conor? You were floating around there in the half forward line, and yeah. Mead was on Paddy Maher for a while, and you took Ronan Curran out of the middle, and like they struggled.
Yeah, we're just kind of constant moving, really. We're just kind of doing just trying to get on the ball and stuff like that, so like. So like sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, and it's just the way it went today. So like when you get that chance, you have to take it, or you know, you'll just regret it. Like.
Yeah, I was just finally I was talking to Anthony Nash there, and he commented on the Cork crowd. You came around the corner up to the ground and in the bus, and you just saw the amount of Cork fans that came out to support you. That you kind of need that.
Ah, but so even during the game there, you know, when it was kind of coming towards the end, and you hear the crowd shouting and stuff like, you know. You know, it's something like, you know, you're not supposed to be listening to that in the pitch, like, but when you hear it, you're going to get shivers, like, so that kind of spurs on even more because, you know, everyone's behind you, and even a small thing like that can really help, like, but like I said, like, it's just not one, it's unreal, yeah.
Yeah, but your reaction to their goal, because it looked like, right, Tip have to win, you know, you're always ahead of them, but then at a vital time they got that goal, but your reaction then straight away, you went down and got two to get one back up.
Like you said, like this, we played league games where they kind of got goals, and you just kind of put that into practice. Like, you can do that in training all day, but like when it comes to a match, and they get a goal at kind of a bad time for, like, say if you're on a bit of a purple patch,
yeah.
Like, to react to that is like, it's a really killer for the other team if you kind of can react to that well. So that's what you really have to kind of zone in on this year. Like, you know, reacting to things that go against it, because it's always going to happen. That's how you react. It was really how what way the game will end up.
That's the important thing, because it looked like your brain could scramble at that stage,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
because
yeah.
You are the underdogs. They have the win. It would be easy to say, right, we gave it a good rattle.
Mm. I know, yeah, look, we backed ourselves going out today, like, and that was that. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah, okay, Conor, thanks very much.
Yeah, so congratulations to Conor Lehan. That's all we have time for this week. We'll be back on Thursday with the same team again. You're going for three in a row, lads. You're the hardest working pundits on the GAA now. And there's two great games coming up at the weekend. Leash and Wexford and Dublin play... Dublin play Galway, obviously, yeah, that's it. Sure, I'm getting complete brain freezes here. I forgot who Conor McManus was on the football show earlier on. Just the pressure, lads, it's the pressure. Right, we'll talk to you on Thursday. Good luck.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance of goal, I said I'd stay going, so I opened up.
We're only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.